And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua and chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing, even now, watching over each and everything in all the ways that show your mercy and show your grace to all of us. So thank you that we could be together in your kindness. So give us that which you have, that we would be the beneficiaries again of just being before you. So take your word and Spirit of God, help us with it, that we would understand. And our Father will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. And in our exercise, in our study, looking at Israel and that wonderful time in their life when they were of one mind and one heart, chapter 10, 11, and conquered all those kings in such a marvelous way. And we're looking to understand that again afresh as we go forward to remind ourselves. And we've been doing that, and we took time in Joshua chapter 1 to remind us that God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, has given the land, chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. So every place that they're going to walk in across the River Jordan, from the Mediterranean Sea, all the way to the Euphrates River, God had given it to them. All they had to do is take it. That's all. They didn't have to worry about wondering how to get it. The obstacles, the enemy, the opponent, it didn't make any difference. The walled cities, no difference. If God had given it to them, they were to take it. So, and in order to do so, they needed to be strong, which we looked at, and of good courage. And we looked at that. And we noted it in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. We noted it in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And why are we going to be strong and very courageous in chapter 1, Joshua and verse 7? We're going to be strong and very courageous because that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So we're going to go and observe it in a wonderful way. And the word observe has to do with to charge, to keep a charge, to labor, to do things, to labor, to do, to work at it, to put into action. Put into action the word of all the words of Moses. Put them into action. Observe them, if you would. And so that's what they were to do. And in doing so, verse 7, turn not from the right, firm not to it to the right hand or to the left. Stay straight on, straight on. Don't go to the left. Don't deviate to the right. Stay straight on. That's what to do. And why are you going to do that? That you might prosper. That you might be able to, wherever, so wherever you go, wherever your city, valley, whatever it is, mountain, wherever you go, every place I've given to you, and I want you to be successful in every place you put your foot. So no matter what, how, when, or where, I want you to be successful. And therefore observe to do all that God has. So God has given us his word, given his word, and by Moses, and they're to go and honor that word, to honor that relationship. God's word, God gives his word, God is the word, and God gives his words. And that is put forth in clear clarity. God did it back with Moses, and God showed it in the Son of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to go and make all of that real and right and wonderful, to work it all out. Moses' law, to do it. Now, and over to Deuteronomy, if you would, and chapter 27. Keeping in mind, chapter 27, and you'll remember, here's the list of curses and blessings in chapter 27. We have all the curses that are listed. And so therefore, in chapter 27, we have chapter 27 going to the end, to all the curses are listed until we come to the end of them, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. So all the words of this law to do them, that's what to do. Now, what do they understand? Remember now, Noah didn't have any law. We shared that this morning a little bit. That Noah walked with God. They didn't have any law. And they were they're right down the corridor. They went straight down the road. Abraham had no law. And they went straight down the road. The law comes in because of their unbelief. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam and Eve and Abel, they believed God. That's all God wanted. God wanted them to just exercise their personal relationship to God's personal person in a very personal way. That's what God wanted. To honor the person of God and honor it. How are you going to honor it? Then you hear what he says, and think of that Genesis chapter 2. How did Adam and Eve honor God's word? They could eat any tree, do whatever they wanted, taking care of the Garden of Eden. How did they do it? All they had to do is show that they honored and feared God, and whatever God said, and whatever God was after, they were in agreement. And all they had to do to show that is just don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's all you had to do. Just don't eat of the tree and show that you're listening to me. Are you hearing me? If you're hearing me, then you won't eat of the tree. Yeah, that's what you're going to do. That's all I want. Don't get it complicated. And while we're doing this, to hold your finger right here and go back over, hold your finger there, and go over to the first epistle of John, where you were and where we've been, and tie it together. And the Spirit of God's trying to lock it in for us in 1 John. Telling you how to walk with God in the light of his word. And we shared together in chapter 3, in verse 23. This is his commandment. Remember the end of verse 22? Whatsoever you ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this then tells you now, so we do this, don't do that. No, it isn't saying that. He said, I'm trying to help you directly. I'm going to help you do things that are pleasing in his sight. How are you going to do that? Verse 23, this is his commandment, that you should believe on the name of the Son of God, Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's all. I want you to just honor, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and exercise that relationship, because all the law, remember, all the law is summed up, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might, and love thy neighbors thyself. And that's the whole law. It's a relationship. So, when you came to verse 24, he that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. It's a simple relationship. Now let's do the same thing way back, over to Deuteronomy and in chapter 11. All kinds of ways I'm just trying to take so you understand. You want to practice and enjoy a simple, wonderful, real relationship to God in a very practical, wonderful way. And you either get that clear or you mess it up. And we go to the left and we go to the right instead of going straight ahead. So therefore, in Deuteronomy, if I can, chapter 11. And in chapter 11, verse 22. 4, 11, 22, Deuteronomy. 4, if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments. That's what you just read in chapter 27, verse 26. If you offend in all, you don't break any of them. To break one, like James says, you offend in all. You're guilty of all. So, verse 22 again. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them. Aha! Now what are they? To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and cleave unto him. That's it. What did you just say? All the way through. I want you to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and exercise God's wonderful concern for his whole creation, love thy neighbors thyself. God died for all to save all. So therefore, in the light of that, and then if you do that, that keep the commandments, then what would they haven't crossed the Jordan yet in Deuteronomy. So it's the last, just before they cross the Jordan, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 23. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. And every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness of Lebanon and unto the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, Mediterranean, shall your coast be, and there shall no man be able to stand before you, etc., etc. What did you say, God? I just want you to follow all the law of Moses. What do you mean? I want you to do what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all they did. They honored me. They respected, God said. They feared me, and they honored me. So when I told them something, and I pointed to something, walk before me, like Genesis 17:1, and be thou perfect, complete, wholehearted. That's all I'm asking. And the people mess it up 1,000 ways, and Israel messed it up when it went to the law. So, and to do that in another kind of way, to lock it in, go over to the book of Micah, as you would guess. And in Micah chapter 6, we have it another way to say it. And the prophets said the same thing, and here is a case in point. Micah and chapter 6, if I may, and you will note in chapter 6, Picking up, please, in verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, Micah 6, 8. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? What does God want from you? But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. That's what he wants. Walk before me, Genesis 17, 1 to Abraham, and be thou perfect. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. It's wonderful, but you have to understand, it involves a personal, awesome relationship to God, for real, in whose presence we sit. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you would know if you went to go, using Abraham again, and Abraham went and believed God, John chapter, Genesis 15, 5, 6, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God's going to use it all the way through to Galatians, etc. And he says, how are you going to be justified, declared righteous before God? You're going to have to believe just like Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, for righteousness. That's all. That's all I ask, said God. I want you to honor me for real, for I am the reality. You walk in the light. You walk by faith. That's what I want. Understand, I am God, he said, in the most wonderful, wonderful way. And so Joshua, go back over, if you would, to Numbers, and you would remember it, Numbers, and chapter 32. Numbers 32. And picking up, if I may, and just reminding ourselves, how did Joshua, who is told to be strong and of good courage, he's told to be strong and of good courage in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that, picking it up in chapter, it's Numbers chapter 32, and you'll notice Numbers 32, going, if I can, to verse 10. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely, verse 11, chapter 32, surely none of the men which came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because, reason, they have not wholly followed me with their whole heart, whole, full, complete. They have not wholly, completely followed me, go in a straight line. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, stay right on course. Honor God, don't get into idolatry, because then you're honoring all kinds of other thought and all kinds of other direction, and you're losing out. Don't get caught into idolatry, stay on course. God is the boss. You're following his word and his rule in your life to enjoy the relationship. So therefore, verse 12, except wholly, they didn't wholly follow me. They wanted all Israel to follow him. Caleb and Joshua did, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they're the example. They wholly followed me with their whole heart. That's what they did. They followed me with their whole heart. And therefore, They had another spirit in them, as you would read if you went to chapter 14. They had a different thought. They had a whole nother approach to God. They had the right approach to God. And so they proceeded down the corridor of time, and they looked to God with a whole heart, and they were wholeheartedly looking to God. Now, so that's all God wanted. That's what God wanted. And tying that together, over to Matthew, and in chapter 4. And you would recall Joshua in chapter 4, picking up, please. And you'll remember our Lord, again, has 12 apostles. The 12 apostles are not picked from the cream of the crop. He picks them according to their heart. What characterized the 12 apostles? What was the one thing? It wasn't be they're brilliant or they were had high positions. No. There was one thing that you certainly can say is common. What is that? God said, go on a straight course. Don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. That's where I'm going. I was born to die, to go to Calvary's cross. I'm not born to be king. I am king. They tried to make him king. He said, no, I have one will, John 4:34. And my will, my food, is to do the will of God and finish it. I'm to go to the cross and die straight on. No deviation, no sidetracked, right straight on. So then in Matthew, if I can, in Matthew 4, so here comes the disciples, apostles, verse 19. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I want you to follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20. And they straightway, no, didn't deviate. They left their nets. They didn't go to the left. They didn't go to the right. They didn't say, when I finish my fishing, they didn't say, I got to go home and say goodbye to my wife. They didn't do that. God summoned them, and they, without hesitation, straightway. That's why he picked them. They got to listen to God. There's no talk about it. We aren't going to have a discussion of what you want, God, and what do you want me to do, etc. Don't have any discussion. Keep going. And verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's what they did. That's how we got him. He found somebody that listens to him and fears him properly and respects him properly. They aren't geniuses. They aren't super-duper people. They're people that just gave respect for the person of God, the only God there is, in whose presence we sit. And they honored it. Now, having said that, John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, picking up, you remember, Gospel of John and chapter 12, and in the process, picking up, if I can, the light of the context, of verse 26 directly. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father glorify. I want you to follow me. Follow me. What was Caleb and Joshua? They wholly followed him. He took two steps, and they took two steps. He went up a hill, and they went up the hill. They followed him. Their heart was where he was. Their heart followed his heart. That's why David is chosen. Remember chapter 13 of 1 Samuel. God was looking for a man. And David said, David is a man, a heart. David said, in his real life, when he got saved, but God took him, David wanted God's heart. And God's heart, that's all he wanted. Who have I in heaven, God, but thee? And what's important in life? Just to be in your presence. And to really get with it. God, it's just to know you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to be it, just be you. Just to know you is enough. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to help me. Just to know you is enough. That's something. Now, having said that, and therefore, if you would, in the light of all that, what are we going to do? So, sliding along, if I can, and keeping in mind Colossians and all of that, and so whatever we're going to do, whatever we, you know, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 and that, whatever we eat or drink or whatever we do, what are we doing? Just ordinary living in an extraordinary way. What are we doing? Whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Do it because you're saved. Do it because God is given and doing who he is in your life. So whatever you're doing, be glad you know him and honor him. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. So, and God, not anybody else. And we tried to say that in some little way this morning. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember Mount of John, Matthew 17 and that, on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah and all the law and the prophets are there, represented by these two men. And Peter, James, and John saw him and say, wow. And then what? God took him away. It's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. It's about what? Matthew 17, 8. They saw Jesus only. No one else. It isn't about anybody else in your life or anything in your life except God. Center. Don't go to the left and don't go to the right. Stay straight on course. Now, having said that little bit, so, and the Lord Jesus said it, you know, in his most wonderful way, you're the vine, he's the vine, we're the branches, and without that relationship, simple as the tree, we still got it, it'll be here till spring. Here it is. Wow. The branch abiding. And without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. Oh, I'm going to talk about it, pray about it, preach about it, write about it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Without me, nothing. But I'm going to do it. And I'm going to get him whatever you can. But you have no connection to God. You're disconnected. Without me, you can't do it. You have to have an understanding. All God ever wants is for you to enjoy your Creator and your Savior in a saving, safe kind of way. That's all he wants. That's Christmas. That's why the birth. So, now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, God's wonderful, wonderful hand and his wonderful, wonderful keeping in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And so here's Moses' law. And we shared all that together. Now, picking up, keeping that in mind, if you can, and here's Moses again, and here's the law and all that he's doing, and remember, they do it. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy in chapter 5, back there again. And you will note chapter 5, picking up in verse 31. 5 and 31. Chapter 5, Deuteronomy, verse 31. But as for thee, stand thou by me, here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess it. You shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Yes, stay straight on going. Verse 23, and you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. You're going to go and enjoy and exercise a wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful way. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and chapter 12. And you'll remember as you come to the end in chapter 12. Where are you? And chapter 12, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 32. 12 and 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shall not add thereto, nor diminish, take from it. Don't add or subtract all that I say. God has given you the recipe book. That's the Bible. The recipes are perfected. The recipes are perfect. Don't play with them. You can play with what people do, and understandably, play with recipe books and take a recipe and add to it and take away from it. But you can't do that with God's word. Don't add and don't subtract. Believe what I tell you, the way I tell you, and it works. You want to enjoy me, said God, honor my word, and give it credit. I know what I'm saying, and how I say it, and why, in the original languages, as we shared together, chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. And in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verse 24, verse 14, better. Stay on the blessing side. Chapter 28, verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day. Don't go to the left or right. And to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Don't deviate. Stay straight ahead. Stay straight on course in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's what I want you to do. Over to Luke chapter 9. I want you to stay straight on course. Luke and chapter 9. And you will note, in Luke and chapter 9, picking up, if I can, and picking up, if I can, verse 24. Chapter 9, verse 24. And, again, let me get that. Turn the page to read verse 24. And therefore, and the pages don't want to turn. They'll turn. Verse 24. Verse 24. I'll read verse 23. And he said unto them all, everybody's listening, if any man, any of you, will come after me, follow me. Any of you come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. In other words, you become a servant outworking the will of God in the way of God for God's wonderful purpose. And so you're outworking it. Whatever you do, eat and drink, whatever you're doing it to the glory of God, and God does it. Picking up, please, in verse 25. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, of the holy angels. Verse 27. But I tell you a truth. There are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God, etc. So, and then God's looking for people to follow him and to honor him in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, Luke chapter 9, and indeed be a little better, chapter 9, I'm going over, if I can, to verse 62. Luke chapter 9, and in verse 62. I'll read verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, or at my home, at my house. Now we did all that. Follow. Then that's the disciples. All God wanted them. When God says something, he overrides everybody, everywhere, in every way, shape, and form. So therefore, that the fellow said that. Verse 62, Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Go in a straight way, a straight line. You get off into idolatry, get off on the left and right into everything else except what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be enjoying and letting God's wonderful person, saving you, keeping you, and having a wonderful plan for your life. Just think of the warning. And God has done that for you. All you have to do is enjoy it. That's all. Look back, like Lot's wife. What did she do? They left Sodom, and God told them, the angel said, don't look back. Once you start, and you say you're going to be saved, then be saved. Don't try to look back when you weren't saved. I used to have this. I could do this. I could see that. I could eat this. Don't do that. The angels told them, and they left. And as you know, Lot's wife, they didn't turn their head back to see. Here comes fire and brimstone covering the whole end of the Dead Sea. Is now dead because of that. Used to be beautiful. The whole area used to be beautiful. And God covered it, made it what it is today. And Lot's wife turned and looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. She never went anywhere else. God said, I told you. The angels told us. Don't look back. And that meant that Lot never looked back to see where his wife was. He never looked back. The children never looked back. At least they honored God, even though the wife was missing, the mother was missing. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, over to Hebrews. Are you getting a little bit straight on? Honor God. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. There is no other source for your life. God is the life of the believer. himself. So therefore, Hebrews, and you remember, in Hebrews in chapter 12, when you come to chapter 11, they're talking about having faith in God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, when we come to chapter 12, what are all those examples? So when we come, wherefore, in the light of having such wonderful examples, chapter 11, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, that's unbelief, going to the left and going to the right. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How are we going to do so? Looking unto Jesus, looking unto God, staying straight on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who for the joy, J-O-Y, that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It was a wonderful thing, and Jesus Christ went straight forward. He said that we shared a minute ago, all the way to the cross. That's what it's about, to make it possible for the human heart to enjoy God's unique, wonderful person in a unique, wonderful way. Now, so when we do that, we go forward looking to God. That's what we're doing. Believers are supposed to be walking by faith in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing them, so we aren't letting our old nature loves us up. So we're going to trust God. So therefore, that's what we need to do. And you remember the poem, not a poem, but spin this. Just think of a weaving, when they weave rugs and carpets and everything, and they weave them with threads and the big, big thing, and they weave up and down and make the big blanket and everything. That's what they do. So spin cheerfully. Spin cheerfully, not tearfully. He knows the way you prod. The Lord is cast into the lap. The whole disposing thereof is God's. Spin cheerfully, not tearfully. He knows the way you plod. Spin carefully. Spin prayerfully. But leave the threads with God. Each day, we do what we do as best we understand it, trusting God. And all the ins and outs and ups and downs, the mistakes, the errors, the failure, the fault we have to leave it with God. That's what we do. And we go down the corridor. That's all. Spin cheerfully, not tearfully. It isn't a sorrowful thing. It's a wonderful thing that God would have such a plan for such as us, that God would take us, flesh and blood, nobodies, and have that for our life. Spin cheerfully, not tearfully. Look to God and do what you can and leave the threads. I can't put the pieces together. I don't even understand them all. I look back at my life, you look back at your life and the journey you've been. Here you are. And all the things that you did, didn't do, was everything. Think of your whole life. And now God, what? How do they all go? God, I don't know. But I know. I'm going to look to you prayerfully. Prayerfully, trusting you with all my heart, and thanking you very much as I go down the corridor, leaving the threads with God. God, thank you very much. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. God, keep us straight on down the highway, heading in your direction, letting you lead us, letting you carry us, letting us Go as we share together. You have our right hand. We have your right hand as we get down the corridor to make it. So God, thanks a lot. It's awful simple and wonderful. But God, we're going to have to give you the credit. We're in your presence, and it's all for real and all for right. And everyone that argues and talks about it, God, we all become dust, and you're always left. We say all kinds of things and think all kinds of things, but then it's just us. And then we die and become dust. What a dumb thing we do, leaving you out of the picture. So help us in every way. Give safety on the walkway and driveway and carway as we travel, God, in the road. And help us in every way. We think of all those that are sick and have their needs even now. And our Father will thank you in all of it, for all of it, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.